It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Squawk Talk. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. I am your host, Kate Skirmerhorn, and joining me in the studio today is Jake Moran from The Simpson Company, Christy Wilkins from Wilkins & Company of Keller Williams, and Jayla Gaza?
Lazega
from representing CAI of Georgia. Welcome, everybody. We're going to start off the show today with Jake Moran of The Simpson Company. Welcome, Jake.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Jake, tell us a little bit about what is The Simpson Company, not the TV show.
We are effectively a full-service commercial real estate and property management company. We have property all over the Southeast, but predominantly in the Atlanta Metro, Northeast Georgia area. So this is kind of our sweet spot right here, so we're excited to be here.
Very good. And tell us a little bit about what you do with the Simpson Company.
So I oversee the property management leg of the company, which ranges everything from single-family home rentals to apartment complexes to hotels to retail centers, commercial office buildings, hotels. I don't know if I said that already. So it's kind of full scope.
So anybody who's leasing or renting something, they're going to come through you.
Yeah, and predominantly on the commercial side, we do have some, most of our residentials just in the Hall County area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and tell us a little bit about, paint us a picture, if you will, who a typical client would be for you.
I don't know that we have typical clients. We deal with probably about a dozen different banks, and those are from California all the way over here to Georgia up to New York, and comfortable working with the asset managers, the REO managers, whoever it is, if it's for foreclosure. We also deal with really single-family homeowners that maybe have a house that's an investment property or bought a small apartment complex, and that's what they're going to give their kids in 10, 20 years. And so we really don't have a typical investor. We don't have a typical client, and that's kind of what our niche is we deal with everybody, and we can work with anybody wherever they're at.
Okay, so you're dealing with the investor who's got a piece of something that needs to be leased, and you're actively seeking renters for their investment property.
Yeah, we handle the leasing, the marketing, pretty much everything that you would need as far as if you're the property owner, you say, I've got an investment property. I can't rent it out myself. I don't have time. I don't want to deal with it. I just want a statement once a month and a check in the mail. We have some of those, and we have some that are more hands-on that really want to be involved in the property, help make some decisions as far as strategic things, capital improvements, and those sorts of things. And so we can really kind of customize our approach to deal with whoever that owner is and whatever their goals are for the property.
Okay, well, let's expand on that a little bit. In terms of if I'm thinking commercial, I see those strip centers, and you get spaces for rent. Mm-hmm. And so you've got somebody who owns that piece of property, and maybe you've got maybe two different types of clients. You've got one that wants to make those decisions and one that just says, just send me the check. Talk to me about the kind of things that, as the Simpson Company, you provide the services to help them make the decisions which way they want to be.
Mm-hmm. The neat thing with our company, and something that I think really distinguishes us from some of our competitors maybe, is we have sales agents, leasing agents who specialize in specific market segments, so apartment complexes, hotels, retail, just each of those niche segments. And so we're really able to kind of give good guidance that's specialized for that particular property or that particular niche. And if it's sometimes it's a geographic area that the owner might not know really what they're dealing with. It might be a county that they really need to pay attention to what goes on in the county. And so we're able to provide that level of detail and insight. So if they do want to help make strategic decisions, they're making the most informed ones they can. And if they don't, we can make that for them and feel like we have the confidence and ability to do that.
Now, do you also help kind of strategically place different types of businesses based upon the type of business where they are? And as they say in real estate, location, location, location. Do you help those businesses find the right property for their location?
Yeah, every week we have people that call in and say, hey, I'm looking for 3,000 square feet of light industrial or 10,000 feet of retail. I want to put a big shop in. and they don't really know where they want to be or where they should be. And so they call us, and we route them to the right person. Sometimes we just send a blanket email out to all of our agents, see if anybody got a new listing that really fits their needs and what they're looking for as far as their business, what their traffic counts, you know, those sorts of things they're looking at, and really what their market is. You know, if they don't need that drive-through traffic, they just need a space that's cheap and affordable to manufacture something in. So it kind of goes, we go through the whole evaluation stage with them to try to get them in the right place.
And if somebody is, they're an investor and they're thinking, you know, real estate, I always hear that the market's ripe for everything. Every day, I think you hear that a lot. How would somebody go about making a decision? Obviously they may want to interview a couple of investment companies. Mm-hmm. What kind of things would you recommend they ask to say, here's what's going to separate the Simpson Company?
We like to put together a package. It's an easy thing to say, you know, we're better than our competition. We have, like I said, agents who are experts in their fields, and we put together, I mean, the marketing package or leasing package is about an inch and a half thick. And if you really want to, you can read it all. And it outlines everything you would need to know about the market. So even if you're not going to go with us, we're going to provide you great information about the market you're seeking, you're going after. And we check our rates annually. We're pretty much right at where everybody else is as far as commissions and those sorts of rates. So I feel like you're getting, from a sales and a marketing as well as an information perspective, you're really getting the best deal with us.
Mm-hmm. And is the Simpson Company, you said your property management for residential is mostly in Hall County, but tell us a little bit about what areas you cover in the commercial
side. On the commercial side, we have gone up to North Carolina. We've got a couple properties right now in Tennessee outside of Chattanooga. We've got one in Alabama. We've got numerous all – I mean, I don't know that I can even give you a guesstimate how many listings we have across Georgia, but we've been looking to expand in some of the southeast regions and we're excited about that. Some of that expansion has taken place in the last 2 years, so we're continuing to grow. The last couple of years have been, you know, we've been able to continue to move things through people that need to sell properties. We've gotten, like I said, probably about a dozen banks that we work with, and those are those asset managers and REO managers. They entrust those properties to us because we can not only list the property, market the property, but we can manage the operations of the property, whatever it is, whether it's a hotel or apartment complex. We can manage that in a way that they can really have one central hub for that property. They don't have to deal with two or three different companies. They're able to just have one central point of contact. We can do everything they need for them. We can get all the reporting that they need for the operations of the property and the financial statements and those sorts of things. And so from a banking perspective, for the REO managers, for the asset managers, we try to make life very easy for them. And that's why we get so much return business from those managers.
Yeah. And we're listening to Jake Moran from the Simpson Company. Jake, tell us a little bit about you. You've talked about doing full-service property management, both business and commercial. But say you've got a business owner that just needs repairs done. They're taking care of things themselves. Mm-hmm. Do you have a way that people can contact you about for the things that they need done in their business, but mm-hmm. they don't know how to take care of those?
Yeah, we actually just started that in the last year. Traditionally, most property management companies will only do maintenance services for properties that they have a management agreement on. And that was something we've identified in the last year, that there are a number of properties that the owners may be an owner-user. They may be able to handle – they may have a central person that kind of handles 3, 4, 5 properties for them. But an AC goes down, a roof leak shows up, a toilet clogs – they can't get anybody there quick enough to keep their tenants happy or to keep their office manager happy if it's their own user. And so that's something we started looking at providing for businesses that don't need the full scope of the management services, but do need, I mean, let's face it, there's always going to be a maintenance need because
right.
things break, things clog, things leak, and that sort of thing. And we're able to provide that for people, owners, that need that level of service but don't need anything more.
And if they're an owner user, they're taking care of their own business as it is, and they don't need to be dealing with.
Right.
Can I ask a question about that?
Please. Yes.
How quickly can you typically get out there for those people?
Within a day. You know, obviously, if it's an emergency, hey, I've got it looks like somebody's pouring a hose out my ceiling. You know, we would get someone there immediately, but usually within a day.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good question.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about, now, Frank, as I understand, Frank Simpson is the newly elected president of the CCIM for the U.S. Tell us a little bit about what CCIM is and what Frank does with that.
Well, it was actually last year, it was 2012, that he was the president. He still travels with CCIM like he's involved. But no, the CCIM is stands for Certified Commercial Investment Member, and it is I think there is about 7% of all commercial investment managers that have this designation. And it's, for layman's terms, I guess it's kind of like a master's degree in commercial real estate management. And it is the distinguishing certification to have for on the commercial side of the business. And so Frank was, he wasn't, you know, kind of brought into the position. He was actually elected by the fellow CCIM members to be the president for the United States, which was you know, we're in Gainesville, Georgia, you know.
Right.
It's pretty significant. So he traveled to, gosh, I can't even remember. I mean, he went to Russia, China, South America, all over this country. And, you know, we've had a great grasp on real estate in the Southeast. I can tell you that that's pretty much all Frank does is study, learn, attend things, travel, talk with you know, pretty much anybody that's involved in the real estate world, so that, I mean, we really have our ear to the ground as far as any questions. I've constantly be in conversations with Frank. Somebody will just stop us at lunch, ask him some question, and Frank will rattle off this answer. I'm like, where did you get that? And, but that's what his
that's
niche.
Where study that's
what
comes he, from. Yeah,
yeah, that's where his study comes from. So it's pretty impressive for Frank to have been nominated for that, elected for that position. He still is very engaged with that, as well as some of the other sister organizations in the commercial real estate side. So
that makes the Simpson's Company as a whole a great resource,
right,
for anybody who's looking for information.
Yeah, and that's where that's another distinguishing characteristic that kind of sets us apart from the competition. From most anywhere, you've got somebody who is not only certified as an expert in their field, but has been elected as the president of the United States division of this to represent their organization.
Okay. Now, you've talked a lot about commercial. Is the Simpson Company mostly focused on commercial and management of property, or are you helping people purchase as a regular real estate company?
The majority of what we do is seems on the selling side, but we do we have so many clients that we work with that are buying and selling, mm-hmm. and so we do both. I don't know if I could really probably have to get our office manager in on weighing out how many closings
sure.
we have on one side versus the other. But no, we do both. And one of the great things, we have so many listings. Somebody comes to us and is a buyer, and we can kind of go through our inventory first and see if anything we have meets their needs. And if they come to us, and we have this, you know, all the time, where somebody just comes in and says, hey, I've had this property in the family for, you know, 80 years. I'm tired of it, you know.
Right.
I want to go to Barbados, you know.
The taxes are getting the best of us.
Right,
yes.
Right. And so and we can facilitate that as well.
Very good. Well, Jake, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in with the Simpson Company.
Well, my background was with home building and property management on the residential side. I transitioned to more a commercial role with the Simpson Company a couple years ago, and so I have, I guess, a very unique eyes and ears for what I do, because I have I've done the front and the back side of building, and so, you know, my mind is just trained to be maintenance oriented, which makes it's a blessing and a curse for this position, because I told Frank, I said, you have ruined elevators for me for the rest of my life. Because every time I get in an elevator, I'm looking if there's any light bulbs out, is the carpet frayed, is the railing loose, is the certification get valid. It's like, this is supposed to be an enjoyable experience, but that's just the way kind of your mind gets trained as you go through this.
It's kind of like me watching HGTV.
Yes.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So if somebody is listening today and they either have a piece of property that they're interested in and maybe either they've been trying to manage it themselves and would like some professional help, mm-hmm. or on the flip side, they're a business and are looking for property, how would they go about finding a little more information about the Simpson Company?
They can go on our website. Our website is actually in the process of being updated. It's simpsoncompany.com. They can call our office in Gainesville. That number is 770-532-9911. It's very easy to remember. 770-532-9911. And we can get them whatever they need as far as information on listing, buying, management, anything.
Great. Jake Moran from the Simpson Company, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Our next guest on the Squawk Talk is Christy Wilkins of Christy & Company, Keller Williams Agency.
Hi, Kate.
Welcome, Christy.
Thank you.
Start us off telling us a little bit about Christy and Company and the formation of that and what that means to Keller Williams.
Fantastic. I have been in the business now for almost 20 years, and over the course of that time started as an individual agent and gradually worked on building up my own team. So I now have a full-time office manager. Her name is Ashley. I have a showing assistant. Her name is Joanna. And then I have a part-time admin person, and her name is Sarita.
And with 20 years of experience in the real estate market, you've seen a lot of ups and downs.
Yes, I have, especially in the last 6 years.
And most importantly, have survived through them.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on in the real estate market today.
Well, interestingly enough, we've seen a lot of crazy changes in the last 6 months. We started off the beginning of the year with it still being a buyer's market. And over the last 6 months, what we've seen is that it has completely shifted. We've gone from having a lot of inventory to virtually no inventory. And at times I feel like I live in California when I see 12 offers coming in on a property.
Wow.
Or working with a buyer who's having to experience competing against 12 other people. We are seeing multiple offers. We're seeing craziness with regards to the appraisals. Many of the appraisers have not caught up with the fact that this market has shifted and changed. And as a result, what we're seeing is people will be offering over asking price, but the appraisals are not coming in at that contract price. So that's been another challenge we've experienced. And then just in the last few weeks, we've started to see interest rates rise by over 1%. And we are expecting to see another little bit of a shift with this market where things will level off and buyers will back off because of the rates increase.
And so you're mostly working with residential customers.
Exactly.
And do you have a price point of home that you typically work with, or are you just all over the board?
Well, because I have a team, we work anywhere from $100,000 on up to over $3 million. Mm-hmm. And my specific price point that I focus on is the luxury high-end properties. But we do have many people that can help you with all price ranges.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about, I know you've had a lot of success. I've heard some accolades from Keller Williams. Mm-hmm. How was your 2012? In terms of selling and buying?
Well, you mentioned how did we make it through this period of time. And one of the things that I'm most proud of is that in 2011 and 2012, we increased our business. In 2011, we increased it by 90% and last year by another 60%. So we did over 80 transactions. And that was actually just myself, my assistant Ashley, and my part-time administrative assistant.
That's wow. Fantastic.
That is Thank fantastic. That's a lot of homes.
I was tired.
I would think so. If people are doing the math, that's more than one a week. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is thinking about buying a house right now, what are some of the things that a buyer needs to be aware of in terms of what the current market is looking like?
Well, we've had a lot of people over the years who have been sitting on the fence, so to speak, and that's because they were waiting for that proverbial bottom. And the thing about the bottom is that you don't know you've hit it until you're past it. So many of these buyers are now jumping in wanting to get these good deals. And even at this 4% interest rate, those are still lower interest rates than I've ever seen in my career, with the exception of the 3% that we had last year. So it's definitely a great opportunity for buyers right now. And they should still be getting into this market before we continue to see those rates rise, because that will change their affordability. Mm-hmm. What was, for instance, a $250,000 house now might be that they can afford a $200,000 house based on that rate.
Interest.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what are some things that the buyer, they need to be aware of that they may not be able to just go and shop? They got to be prepared to take action.
Exactly. And one of the first things that we ask our buyers to do is to get pre-qualified with one of the strategic partners that we have. And they can, of course, go with any lender that they choose. However, it's important to have that pre-qualification up front so that they know what is their comfort range and affordability. And especially knowing that we have all of these offers that we're competing against. I know as a listing agent, mm-hmm. I am not looking at an offer until I have that pre-qualification mm-hmm. because otherwise we don't know whether this buyer can even afford this home. So when you've got all of these offers, you want to make sure you're protecting your client, the seller.
Sure.
And getting them everything that they need to ensure we're getting to the end of the closing.
I think the worst thing a buyer can do is fall in love with the house, and then the lender says, nope, sorry, you can't mm-hmm. have it.
Exactly. Well, we just had a scenario last weekend with a client of ours who received multiple offers. The highest offer came in without a pre-qualification. We told that seller that the best thing he could do would be to take the next best offer with the pre-qualification. He chose not to. 2 days later, they came back and said, we don't qualify for the house.
Oh, no.
So this is exactly why it's important to have that pre-qualification letter up front.
Sure. Can I ask a question? Yeah. So, Christy, what are you doing in those situations where you have a contract overlisting, you have a buyer who qualifies, but you don't appraise? What do?
I scream.
You buy the appraiser some flowers.
Yeah. Flowers, chocolate.
There are several things that can happen in that instance. One of the first things that we like to do is go back to the appraiser and provide them with comps to see about getting an adjusted ratio on that appraisal. Typically, that's a challenge, and we don't usually see appraisers going back and changing what they've already come up with. So in that scenario, then, we're going to go back to buyer and seller, and usually in past scenarios, you're going to go to the seller and tell them lower the price because the value isn't there. Because there's so much competition, many sellers are not willing or even able to do it if they're underwater. And then in those cases, the buyer may come to the table with the additional cash if they can. I'm also seeing people split the difference, or it's a negotiation. So you kind of are back to square one, starting over to determine how can you work through this problem to get yourself to the closing table. And it really comes down to buyer and seller and what they're capable and willing to do.
It's a great problem that we're seeing more.
And I am seeing a lot of buyers come up with the cash to close in those scenarios.
That's great.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So now on the flip side, what kind of things do the sellers need to be prepared for in this now low listing area of homes?
Right. So there are still plenty of sellers who think this is not a good time to sell. They're still stuck back in time and they don't realize that this is what's gone on. So as a result, my team and I have been working to educate as many people as we can that this is a great opportunity for them. The other side of that is if they get on the market now, they've got such a golden opportunity in their hands with all of these buyers trying to seek out homes. And if they wait and the interest rates rise and these buyers move away, then they're back where they were before. So we really want to encourage sellers to get out there and get their homes on the market.
And are you finding, you say you work with everything from $100,000 to the luxury homes. Mm-hmm. What's the average time that homes are selling based on the price points? Are you seeing days on the market?
Well, it's across the board as far as the luxury homes versus the lower end price ranges. Right now, if you're looking across the board, we're at 90 days.
Okay.
Which is crazy because a healthy market is 6 months, just to give you an idea as to what's normal.
So somebody who's getting ready to sell a house, they need to be prepared to move.
Yes. I mean, I will honestly tell you that the last few listings I've put on the market, we've gotten under contract within 24 to 48 hours. And the only reason it's been 48 hours is because of the multiple offer situation. And we're going back and asking for people to give us their highest and best. So we need to give them the time to do that.
To come back to it.
That's amazing.
And
Isn't it?
I've talked with several people that are under contract in 48 hours and the buyer wants them out in 3 weeks.
So now they've got 3 weeks to find the next one.
I mean, you talk about the whole gamut of appraisal, underwriting, everything in 3 weeks, packing, you know, it's nuts. Yeah.
Well, and that actually brings up a good point, too, because one of the other challenges that we're seeing is it's taking lenders a little bit longer to complete the loans. So while they'll often tell you they can have it done in 3 weeks, we end up having to extend financing contingencies for an additional week. So I think that's a good point because a lot of buyers have that expectation in their mind, and then they're disappointed by that.
Mm-hmm. We're listening to Christy Wilkins of Christy & Company at Keller Williams Realty. Christy, tell us a little bit about, everybody knows a real estate agent. Everybody knows, you talk to anybody, yeah, sure, I have a friend that's a real estate agent. Tell us what Christy & Company brings to the table, then, and if somebody is interviewing real estate agents these days, What kind of questions should they be asking?
Well, a couple of things that set us apart is that I like to say a lot of agents will place a home in the FMLS, put a sign in the yard, and then pray that somebody else sells that house. I also will prospect daily, so I call around to find buyers for my listings, and not many agents are willing to do that. When you have an agent who's doing that, it's statistically proven that you have a 40% greater chance of getting your home sold. So if you work with me, you've got a 40% greater chance in getting your home sold. The other thing that I do is that I price watch daily, so I'm very attuned to what's going on in the market. The reason why that's important for any buyer or seller is it means that I'm not reacting to these changes that happen, because I've seen it coming before it actually transcends into we're now in a buyer's market or we're now in a seller's market.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been in the industry for 20 years. Tell us what you really love about selling real estate, something that's kept you in that business for 30 years.
You know, it's funny because it's the same thing that also drives me crazy. The thing that I love about it is I really enjoy being part of people's story. And this is, in most cases, their largest investment. So you are definitely an integral part of their story. And it's fun to see people who are getting married and it's their first home, or people who are buying their dream home. Just getting to know them as they're having babies, because we remain friends with our clients after closing and we're there for them through the long haul. As you know, Kate, I have stayed in touch with you for years, and that is something that I really enjoy, being able to hear about what's happened with people and what goes on in their lives. So it's just a very personal experience.
And one thing that Christy did that I thought was very interesting is she had kind of a year-end party of all of her clients come together, and just everybody kind of shared stories. And it was really a fun evening for everybody just to say, oh, yeah, Christy sold my house too. And we actually made some good friends.
Yeah, and that was fun to see. I do a client appreciation party once a year, and it is just a gathering of everyone that I've worked with or that has referred business to us over the course of the year. It's kind of our way of giving back our gratitude to those clients for working with us. And it is fun to have people come together, and especially to see people make great friends that they didn't know before, and just have a really good time and relax and enjoy each other.
So you mentioned earlier a little bit about that you do a lot of prospecting and things. What ways do you go about marketing yourself, marketing your company, marketing your clients' homes?
We have a number of ways that we go through that. One of the biggest ways that I was talking about is that I call around daily. So I will call through my database. I have a database of around 800 people. So I'm constantly calling through to see who they might know that's thinking about either buying or selling, and letting them know about a new particular listing that we might have on the market. We, of course, use email and our websites. Keller Williams is filtered out to over 300 websites, which is more than any other company. So we have a huge web presence, which is hugely important, as everyone knows these days. And then we also have great networking relationships with other agents, and stay in touch with them to find out who they're also working with, and work to see how we can make an opportunity happen for people.
Very good. Now, Christy, you've mentioned a couple of different things, but if somebody's listening and they say, you know, she's got a lot of energy and she seems like she's on top of the ball. I mean, she sold 80 houses last year. Mm-hmm. How would they go about finding a little more information about you?
You can go to our website, which is discoverahome.com. And one last thing that I also wanted to mention, because you were talking about what makes me different, and I actually forgot about this, and it's a very important part, is that in looking at numbers for the past 6 months, my average list versus my sold price is 100%. So if you want to make more money with an agent, I'm your girl.
Very good. Well, Christy Wilkins from Christy & Company of Keller Williams, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Our last guest today is Jay LaZega.
Jay LaZega.
All right. From LaZega & Johansson. But today, Jay is representing the Georgia chapter of CAI. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about what is CAI and what does CAI do?
CAI is the Community Associations Institute. It's a national organization with state chapters, and we're the Georgia chapter, and we are essentially the trade organization for community associations and vendors serving that industry in Georgia. Got about 700 members locally, representing hundreds and hundreds of communities, and if you think about how many individual property owners in those communities, it's well over 100,000 people we're representing in Georgia.
So the CAI are the trade members who are representing homeowners associations.
So it's a combination of the community associations and their members or boards of directors can join individually, and property managers who manage those communities, and then other vendors and service providers who provide goods and services.
And tell us a little bit about somebody who's in a property management company. What value do they have in being a member of CAI? What are some benefits that CAI brings to the table?
Huge value for community association property managers. And one of the purposes of our organization, a big purpose, is education for both directors of community associations and for property managers who manage those communities. And people don't think about it, but in your average community, take a 200-unit condominium community or a 100-unit condominium community with $300,000 units, that's a $30 million asset. 200 units, $60 million asset. And there's really no formal training for board members of community associations. You generally only have to own a home in the community. That can right. be your only experience.
And have spare
right.
time.
And have spare time.
Right.
And usually it is people with spare time. But the organization exists, CAI, primarily to provide education to those people, a network of resources for vendors and information, but also education for both the board members and property managers who are managing significant assets.
So it doesn't have to necessarily be professional property managers. You can have individual homeowners associations can become a part of CAI to get that same level of education.
Absolutely. Several hundred of our members are community associations.
Excellent. And so, as I understand, you have a trade show coming up in August. What kind of things people would we see at the trade show, and what would be some benefits of that people would get when they arrived?
We do, and I'm very excited about this. This
Tell
is our third year
that,
during
yes.
the trade show. We've had great success our first 2 years, and it's free to community association members. The trade show is August 24th at Crown Plaza Ravinia, and we've got a combination of vendor exhibits with over 60 exhibitors of landscapers, roofers, painters, and others who provide services to communities and property managers. And then we've got several educational sessions, several with lawyers talking about issues on board of director responsibilities, with collections. That's an issue for every community these days. We have a keynote speaker that I love, one of the most engaging speakers I've ever seen. His name's Terry Watson. And he talks about the things we do individually without realizing that create greater burdens on ourselves, undermine ourselves, or sabotage ourselves. And we see this a lot in the community association industry where it's volunteers. It's hard to find the time to focus on managing so much that goes on in the community. And occasionally you see people that just create their own hurdles, and it results in community issues. It results in what you see on 60 Minutes and everywhere else.
I can't imagine what you're talking about.
It's hard to believe.
And so if somebody is anybody welcome to come to the trade show? Do they have to be a member of CAI?
Anybody is welcome. We are going to convince you to become a member of CAI if you show up. We are good at that. And certainly visit our website at CAI-Georgia.org, and you can find everything about our organization. But it is a great opportunity for anybody involved in the community association world. We hope to have 750. I'd love to see 1,000 people come through the doors. And it's August 24th.
And so, if you're listening, and your neighborhood just has a homeowners association, whether you like it or not, you could go and learn a little bit more, and maybe then that could help improve the association if it's not already professionally managed.
Absolutely. You can find access to potential property managers and talk and interview and other vendors, and also network with others in the same circumstances, other board members of communities, condominium and homeowner communities.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Sure. And so if somebody thinking a little bit beyond the trade show, what are some of the goals that CAI has coming up?
We have many. We want to continue education with property managers in particular. Property managers are required to be licensed in Georgia, most of them, under the Georgia Real Estate Commission, which is really organized for real estate sales primarily. And the GREC is really not equipped fully to govern and manage what we do in our world. And there's very limited education for those who manage residential properties, residential communities. So we're hoping to really expand our base of education, both with classes and events, and hopefully in the next couple of years with online education, which certainly is the future of all education. We also are very involved and active in legislating and lobbying for to protect and enhance community associations, and we're going to continue to do that. We've actually this last year committed to a full-time lobbyist, a paid lobbyist for the organization to monitor activities and try to promote our interests. And, you know, unfortunately, community associations have gotten somewhat of a bad rap in the media over the last several years, and I've done this for 25 years as a lawyer representing condominium and homeowner associations, and I've never in my experience seen a board of directors or a property manager who didn't have good intentions, who wasn't in it to try to advance and benefit their community.
Now, you're a lawyer by trade, so tell us a little bit about some of the issue, the biggest issues that you see facing most homeowners associations out there today.
There are plenty. Over the last several years, obviously, like everyone else in the world, it's finance issues. It's managing budgets to try to be reasonable with dues for the members while also doing what is a huge amount of asset management and maintaining the community. So that's been a big challenge for all communities. Encouraging, doing things that encourage sales and market value. It's part of the role of the board of directors, try to enhance the value of the asset, which is the homes in the community. Those are always huge issues. Financing impacts us. Occasionally you see the issues with the ones that make the media, with pets and leasing disputes and problem tenants. But for the most part, the challenges most boards have is managing this significant asset with limited money and figuring out ways to educate their members about the need for the assessments, what the purpose of that money is, and then getting people to pay.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find most of your members, NCAA, are professional managers, or are they individual communities that just doing it on their own but as neighbors?
We're fairly well split between one-third being communities and their boards and directors, one-third being property managers and their companies, and one-third being other vendors who provide services, like me.
Mm-hmm. And what would be an advantage of somebody who's managing as a self residential managers themselves, taking advantage of a property management company?
I'm a big believer in professional property management. And beyond that, I'm a big believer in knowing what your limitations are and using professionals for everything else, like you guys. The reality
Christy would agree to don't sell your own home.
Christy,
don't manage your own properties and don't sell your own homes.
One of my favorite ads is you wouldn't cut your own hair, would you?
I've tried that. It's gone over not well at all. The reality is, as skilled as we may be at what we do, none of us is capable of doing everything well. You get the value back that you spend on a professional in every case. And managers have, between the experience and the education, so much more knowledge than almost all individual community directors. They bring huge value.
Well, if that's their full-time job, then they're keeping up on the legislative issues all the legal matters regarding it, and not having to do that on the side when their kids are screaming
absolutely
in the background.
And access to vendors and access to others who then can get you better pricing because they're looking at volume opportunity. There's just so much value in professional property management.
And so as a president of the Georgia chapter of CIA, what kind of functions do you perform with CIA?
Mostly they keep me out of the way.
What is the Georgia chapter in specific? What kind of things do you do as a chapter in Georgia?
So what we do is we are, and me in particular, very focused on getting us out into the industry and getting information and resources to those in our industry, particularly our communities, who really need them. And that's been a focus of mine is how do we get out more? How do we grow our membership? How do we show them value for being members? The board of directors, we've got 11 of us, and that's a big focus. And it involves a lot of activities from events, programs, trade shows, magazine, social media activity, and then just answering questions of of community associations. Our executive director is named Julie Jackson, and you can get to her at our website again, cai-georgia.org. And she helps communities one by one throughout the day, every day.
So if the individual board is still trying to manage things, but they don't know what to do. Maybe there's a dispute over how to write something in their bylaws. They could contact CII as a resource.
Absolutely.
To say, how should we word this, or we're having this dispute. What legal obligations are we getting ourselves into? Or
absolutely. And much of it, Julie will know and be able to answer. And other times, she's just a source of resources, and points people to the vendors who have the skill in the industry.
Okay, very good. Now, Jay, we're listening to Jay Lazega at I said that right?
Jay Lazega, okay. You got it.
From CAI. Jay, if somebody is interested in participating, maybe they're a vendor or they're a professional property management company, they're interested in participating in your trade show coming up, do they have to be CAI members to participate?
They do not have to be CAI members to participate, but they there's pricing differences based on whether or not you're a member. So there are definitely advantages to being a member and participating.
Very good.
And our website, again, has information on the trade show.
All right. So I'm going to ask you one more time, give us that website. And if somebody were listening, whether they were a property management company who's maybe not already a member of CAI, or they're that homeowner, they're thinking, well, we're not a member of this, but that sure sounds like a good resource. Or as in my case, maybe they're a vendor thinking, how would I get connected? How would they go about getting some more information?
CAI-Georgia.org.
Very good. Jay Lazega from Georgia CAI, also with Lazega and Johansson and Company.
Yes.
Thank you for being on the show today. Also, a special thank you to Christy Wilkins from Christy and Company, Keller Williams, and for Jake Moran from The Simpson Company. You've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.